some tour guides at gardens and museums and zoos have their talk all memorized. And they give a lecture as they take their tour around that location. They have an easy question here or there that they share with their audience to keep them engaged. The good news for us is that we don't have to have our lecture memorized, and we are not supposed to give a lecture in our discussion groups. So the first tip, the first tool that I encourage my discussion group leaders to have are two green pens, a green highlighter and a green ballpoint pen. And April is new with me, and I have christened her with these two pens already today. It's so that after we've done our homework ourselves, we can go back in our workbook and highlight what we need to see. It will stand out. It'll be easy to see as we're leading our groups through the discussion. I expect not many of you use green pens when you're doing your homework, right? To begin with. Well, also, like a tour guide who has her subject memorized, we need to know what we're going to see. They know the route they're going to take. They know what they need to point out. And when you've made notes with your green pen or whatever your favorite color is, you are going to know where you're going, and the ladies, you can lead the ladies along that route. We need to plan ahead as discussion group leaders. We need to prepare. And it even helps to practice reading those questions out loud beforehand, before group time. When women come to Bible study, they want organization, they want a well-planned program, and they want a good use of their time. It's important to remember that we're gathered together to discuss the truths of God's Word. The main overarching reason for our group time together is to discuss His Word. And hopefully the ladies have done their homework, and the group is going to provide several things for them, several good things for all of us, including the leaders. A group is going to provide acceptance and accountability, and it's going to also provide affirmation. So hopefully you'll have a AAA group. To show acceptance, make sure that you learn your ladies' names. Name tags are helpful. Hopefully you'll remember to bring them, and that they will remember to wear them. If someone new visits, or if you have someone who is already part of the group and they've been a part of that first icebreaker, but they don't come every time, people, and then you've got somebody new, you just may have ladies that don't recognize each other, remember each other. There may need to be some introductions at some point further down the road. So just remember to introduce people. Feeling safe and connected fosters that sharing that you want in the discussion. You also want to provide accountability. To do that, you're leading the discussion and you're looking to them to answer the questions. That means you're not doing all the talking. It's crucial that we don't do all the talking. So draw attention to the exercise in the homework, the question that you want them to look at. Tell them the page number that you're on when you start. And throughout the discussion, they may need a reminder if you've skipped a question or if there's been a lot of discussion and now you're centering back on the workbook again. So don't forget to tell them the page numbers, or they will say, "Where are we?" So just tell them in advance. In my groups, it is helpful to read the question as it is written on the page, because that helps them see where they are, and they'll start thinking about the question, and then they're thinking about their answer. And after you read the question, wait a moment. Wait. That's the hard part. Wait for an answer, wait in silence, and hopefully someone is going to speak up, and they won't wait too long. But if they're hesitant and they're reading their answers, they're thinking about whether they want to share, you could rephrase the question if you want to, if you feel like, you know, you're letting them know, "I'm waiting for y'all to answer the question." If someone looks at you, then you can see that they might be willing to answer the question, and you could call on them and say, "Amber, would you like to share the answer to that question?" I have, let me tell you about that in 1 second. But if no one answers, then you, as the leader, can share briefly what your answer is, but do it as an example. I'll share what my answer is, and then I hope that someone else will share what they have to say. So you're encouraging them. So I teach at night, I teach in the morning, my groups have different personalities. Nighttime is much more hesitant to speak up for the groups that I'm in. I think it's the end of the day. They just would rather rest a little bit more. So one of the things that we do to help foster the discussion and keep it moving so that we're not waiting a long time every time for someone to answer is to just set it up right at the beginning of the year, really. We're going to go around the group, around the circle, take turns, and then they know that it's going to be their turn to answer. And we say, if you don't want to answer, just say skip me. And they do that. And we've had, the ladies are comfortable and it works at night really well. And sometimes on a morning group, if there's a particular question that is going to be a list or you just want to have a lot of answers and you want everybody to share, just say, let's go around the circle and just go through this question quickly like that. If you're going around a circle for whatever reason and you come to a personal application question like, what sin did you need to confess in light of the scripture? Make sure that you don't require that person to answer that question. And I started to say, you could kind of make a joke of it, but that's a serious question that you don't want to make a joke about, so pick your jokes wisely. Pick your funny moments wisely. Draw attention to the personal nature of the question and allow anyone to share a personal response. Let's open this up to the group. Would anyone like to share? And there are many different types of personal application questions, and they should be shared. When I'm preparing my leaders for discussion, I'll point out the personal questions that I do want the leaders to emphasize. I'm like, spend time. They may be hesitant to answer this question. I want you to draw them out because we want to make sure that they are studying for not just understanding in their heads, but application in their hearts. If you were leading a tour around an herb garden, you could ask ladies to read the signs and identify the herbs, and they would get the details and they could get that right. But wouldn't it be better to allow them to pick some of those leaves and smell them and taste them? And do you like that? Or have you ever cooked with that? Or do you have a good recipe? So get them involved and help them make the truths personal and really be watching to see, is it touching their heart? Have you just read a great psalm that praises God and they just kind of say, praise the Lord forever, hallelujah, is the answer. Well, are you? That's real. Let's do it. Let's praise God. As a tour guide in the scriptures, you want to provide your group with acceptance, accountability, and affirmation. So now they're answering the questions. How are you going to affirm them? How are you going to respond? Make sure you're giving them a chance to share. And they do want to know if they got it right. That's part of the accountability of the group, but then they need affirmation. Did they get it right? So what do you have to do? You have to listen carefully and know that you are listening to hear how they answered that question. Did they answer it correctly? If they answer appropriately, you respond positively. Yes, right, nod your head, something, whatever is good for you. I'm not sure that, well, it just depends. Y'all are having lots of opportunities and each person has a different personality here and how they will answer people. So I just was in a group one time that was not a Bible study group, but after every person spoke, she said, thank you for sharing that. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you for sharing that. And she said the exact same thing over and over and over again. And I know she was sincere, but I'd mix it up a little bit. Okay, if you want to urge more discussion and make sure that even though they know the words that came out of their mouth and they got the answer right, but did it really touch their heart? Is it making that connection? Then you might say, yes. Did you understand what that means? Well, that was a yes or no question. I'm going to tell you about that in a minute. Don't do that. Yes, what does that mean would be better. Or yes, you got that right. What do you think about that truth? What do you, as the group, what do all of you think about that? Open it up for further discussion. You can say, let's stop and talk about that truth for a minute. You could have an attitude of, I've got a list of questions and we just have to go through these questions and answers and details and details and details. But stop and talk about it sometimes. If someone answers a question incorrectly, what are you going to do? Here at Colonial, I double-checked with Jennifer about this. In our groups, we want you as the leader to correct them. Graciously, humbly, but the guidebook is the guidebook, and we want to understand what it is saying. So what do you do? You might not have to be the one who makes the correction, because someone in your group might just speak up right away. That's really nice. But you want to affirm that person. If they correct, then you should agree with the correction. Now, if no one speaks up, your group is probably looking to you to see how you're going to handle it. What are you going to say? Depending on how they have answered the question, you might be able to say, "That's not the answer I have. Does anybody else have something different?" You also might be able to say, "Your answer states truth, but that's not really the answer to this particular question." The situation may require a clear, concise correction. And you may need to say something like, "Thank you for sharing that." But the Bible says, so again, your authority in leading the discussion is God's word. When we're handling controversial discussions and differing views, we want to draw attention to what the Bible says, not what a pastor says, not what a Christian book says, not even our church teaches, which we're teaching what our church teaches. And Pastor Davey and Colonial are the shepherds over us. But the authority is in the Word of God. So your answers are based on what the Word of God says. And you may just need to read the verse. You know, go to right where the answer comes from and read that verse to highlight that. All right, a few principles, and I'm going to give you some handouts afterwards. When you, as the tour guide, are directing the discussion, be careful not to dictate, but to encourage ladies to participate. And a few principles, just the headlines, are ask good, open-ended questions. Ask one question at a time. Ask questions that sound controversial. Don't be afraid of those hard questions. Help people talk to each other, the ball, bouncing the ball back and forth between each other. Remember, it's a discussion, not a test. And that's a good phrase to pull out every now and then. Remember, ladies, this is not a test. And keep it simple. As the tour guide, because you already know the route that you want to take, one more thing that's important is that you know what time you want to be finished with the tour. You'll want to pay attention to the time. You definitely need a clock in view. Now, I've been sitting there thinking, is there a clock behind me on the wall? And yep, sure enough, there was. But I didn't look at it when I got up here to see what time I started. Let's see. How am I doing? Well, put a reminder note in your notes to check the time. Have a watch. Have a clock. Call attention to the time with the ladies. Help them know where you are. We're halfway through. We've got, you know, that's where we are. Or we've got 5 minutes left or something like that. What do you do if a discussion gets off topic? And that's eaten up a lot of time. If someone wants to tell a story that they think relates to the subject, it probably does, but it might not need to be told in its full story. Some phrases that a tour guide might use would be, "Let's move along now." "Let's move along to the next question." Or, "This is really interesting, but we've got a lot more to see. We've got more to discuss." You also might want to set the stage at the beginning of the group, especially if you know if you have a really full lesson to cover. "We've got a lot of material to discuss today, so let's get the answers and answer questions. So we need to try not to hop down any bunny trails." By the way, here's my own bunny trail. This spring, we had 4 bunnies in our front yard, and every time we went out, they would hamper scamper everywhere, and I came to call them the dumb bunnies. And now I know where that phrase comes from, because they have no idea where they're going. They ran all over the road in circles and all over, and I mean, they were trying to get away from us, but they didn't have a direct route at all. Bunny trails. I have a real visual picture of the wanderings of a bunny trail now. They're fun, but sometimes you just need to interrupt the story, or it's probably a story that you need to interrupt. Gently, graciously. Your body language can help. You can look at your watch. You might change your posture a little bit, you know, like, I don't know, you know, wiggle in your seat. Lean forward. Look like you're about to, you know, you want to say something. I need to tell you something. And you're looking for a way to interject and interrupt. What do you say? "Can you finish telling your story to us after group time?" or if there's a topic that's interesting, hopefully we'll have a chance to talk about that another time. So you're looking to get things back on track. You do that, summarize where you were, go to the next question. So I now am going to finish up and not go down any more bunny trails and just close with this. God has chosen each one of us to be a tour guide of some sort for this coming year for the particular group that He's going to create. And He has done this to lead these women and to lead us through His beautiful, amazing garden of His Word. He is the wonderful master gardener. He's the vineyard keeper who is always with us. And His Holy Spirit will guide us. So apart from Him, we can do nothing. But as we lead our groups trusting and abiding in Him, He will bear the fruit that He wants to through us. Oh, yeah.
To see what this year's focus will be. I got my flashlight so I can see the path. Do you have one? I have an extra flashlight if you need one. It's really the most important thing to have on the tour.
Yeah, I did bring one. Thanks for asking. I think I'm going to go ahead and join my group, but it was really great to meet you.
Nice to meet you too. I'll see you later.
Bye.
This flashlight is really a reference to the guidebook that we have been talking about. In Psalm 119, 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Many of you heard me share about this verse when I came in.